Welcome to our final podcast of 2022.
This week, it's Christmas birds and calves.
Is that covering Sally?
She's got a Christmas hat she can wear.
Good. There we are. So, myself and James are going to cover the calf trade.
We're also going to talk to John Mulseed, who's a turkey farmer from Devon, and have a chat to him about the challenges around the industry and how he's preparing for the Christmas rush.
And Sally Mitchell is here taking on our farming quiz. Will she beat Derek Biss?
Before we do move on to the trade, I would quickly like to note a correction from last week's podcast.
Okay, there's probably quite a few if we were doing that every week.
Yeah, no, but this week's very important. I don't want to be overlooked.
Okay.
So Rob Venner was on, and as we know, he's very overweight. And we said he was 17 and a half stone. Actually, he's 18 and a half stone.
Okay.
So we were too generous. So I don't know what that does to his BMI, but yeah, it's not good.
Doesn't affect his score in the quiz, though, at all?
No. He's still fat and he's still terrible at quizzes.
Okay. Can we go on with the trade?
We can. A Christmas market saw 847 cattle, 2,333 sheep, and we had 61 pigs and 315 turkeys.
72 dairy today, topped at 2,550 for a red dairy cow from Andy Limond, 281 store cattle to 1,775 for a Shire steer from W. Hilborn and Son, 233 sterks to 840 for a Lim, Elsie and A.D. Hoare.
On the sheep, numbers are quieter as usual for Christmas with 2,336. Killing ewes went to 235 for RJ Lampard, goats to 166 for Child Hay Farming, store lambs to 119 for C. Dimmock, and 61 pigs to £162 for J. Sacrini.
So after six podcasts, we've gone through most of the sections here at Sedgemoor, so I think it's probably about time that me and James covered the calf section. This week we had 256 and they topped £370 for David Bartlett's Charolais Bull. James, what was the trade like this week?
Yeah, this week it was a bit of a slow start, wasn't it? And then after the first few pens, things sort of hotted up and the ring just continued to fill for most of the day.
Absolutely. We started off and there wasn't too many round the ring, but by sort of midway through, it was fairly well packed this week, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, plenty of competition there generally, but yeah, it was certainly the trade isn't where we were 6 months ago, but it's sort of found a new level, I think.
It has. Like you say, if you go back a year, 2 years, we're definitely not where we were, but currently we're at this sort of place. And the trade, I'd say, on the current trade was actually quite good. And I think probably the lower end, if anything, there was a lot of competition for, wasn't there?
Yeah, that seems to be the biggest variation week to week, doesn't it? At the bottom end, sometimes they drop right out as people think actually the mediums, the better quality are more affordable. They fluctuated to buying those instead. Yeah, the reasons for them, the prices being back, I think is generally being blamed on cost, isn't it, really?
I think it's one of those perfect storms, isn't it? I think there's cost, lack of confidence, and also the high milk price. Quite often we'll see a sort of poorer show, if you like, of calves coming through when the milk price is high, because obviously farmers want to put it in the tank, really, don't they?
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, we've definitely seen a lot of younger, smaller calves this year, as you say, because it's definitely gone in the tank. The best calves, the best month-old rearing calves, they would still sell at good money, wouldn't they?
They would.
The market report always gets a little bit skewed because we always have a handful of older 12-week calves in amongst, doesn't it? Get skewed a little bit by those. But actually, whilst your headline figure is a cow making 350, 380, the dearest of them all would be the ones that are making 280 to 300 at only a month old, I would say.
Yeah, and I think there's calves there, but they're still there to be bought as well, I think. I was chatting this morning to a buyer, just telling him we had some crackers in today, and he was telling me how pleased he was with the fat cattle trade, and he was selling them for the most he's ever sold them. However, he still didn't come into the ring today to buy them. We had him in the stirk ring this time instead.
As we mentioned earlier in the introduction, we have caught up with John Mulseed, who's a turkey farmer down on Dartmoor.
So welcome, John. Thanks for joining us. Would you mind by starting by giving us a brief background to yourself and your farming business?
Yes, no problem. Thanks for having me. So my name's John Mulseed, family Dartmoor Hill Farm. We run 80 sucker cows, a few sheep, and we diversified 30 years ago to doing Christmas turkeys just to aid cash flow. And that part of the business has grown for retail and wholesale. And now we currently do 8,000 turkeys, half of which are organic, the other half are free range. And we're producing this just for the premium top 10% of all turkeys produced in the UK. So we're not supplying to supermarket, supplying really direct to the customer for that traditional slow grown dry pluck. So you can game hang it really for a great eating experience is what we're aiming for.
you're really aimed at the high end, selling a really high quality product. How important would that be to your farming business now, to the scale it's
grown? Yeah, so like it started off just being to help cash flow. When mum and dad first started farming here, did it all properly, bought heifers, ewe lambs. So it's, you know, it's going to be a little while before we get proper return. So just did 50 turkeys to put them down in June, cash in the bank in December. I came home to the business at the start of COVID. Classic farmer's son sort of thing. Dad wouldn't want me to take over too much, but he wasn't too fussed about turkeys. So I've pushed that. And at the time, we were doing like 3,000. First year of COVID, we did 5,500. And then the following year from that, on outlets and our own retail, on the back of that successful year, grew numbers. So then we did our first year of 8,000 on the second year of COVID. And then this year, preempting that I don't want to trip up myself, we're just sticking to doing 8,000 and make our system a bit more efficient in December, essentially.
You mentioned that through COVID, sort of the demand rose. And I suppose this year, there's been a lot of talk about a shortage. How has the demand been this year?
Yeah. So in the last few years, there's been hype in the media, shortages for all sorts of different reasons. I mean, bird flu was around back in the Christmas of 2021, and that was in the media as well. And people were buying. Remember in October, we were selling turkeys for our website like it was December. And then it sort of dropped off in November and then picked back up like it traditionally would in December. And I feel that was off the back of the media pushing that there was going to be a shortage. So people were buying it, so they knew how to reserve. This year, so our turkeys are all placed as day olds in May and June. And your supermarket turkeys are placed because they'll be younger, because they'll be faster growing. It's for a different sort of product, but they'll be placed in like August, September. So from that date, there's a fine amount of turkeys available for the Christmas market. You can't just put some more down in end of October, November and grow them in time for Christmas. And then, as everyone knows in the media, it's been rife right around the country, and it hit East Anglia in end of October and just took out all sorts of poultry. But amongst that was Christmas poultry, including turkeys. And I thought if there's ever going to be a turkey shortage, a real one, it will be this year. But for us sort of small scale producers, from what I'm hearing from other producers, there's not really this massive shortage they say there was. I mean, we do 8,000 and we've got about, I think our stock take on the computer says we've got around 60 or 70 left, which as a whole is grand. Best result is to have none.
Do you think you'll get to none over the days?
It's always been very close. It's always best to actually have come to Boxing Day and look at 60 turkeys than it is to mess up one way or another and leave 60 people short, essentially.
So if someone wants a French for turkey, they are still on the market.
Yeah, we actually, amongst all the sort of talks about shortage, we weren't sure whether at Sedgemoor we were going to have many, but obviously we've just had 300. So that was many more than a lot of people were sort of talking about. In terms of avian flu, and obviously that's been one of the big sort of reasons, if you like, and in the media, they've been talking about a shortage. Have you made any major changes to your farm and your business to try and stave away avian flu?
So with the type of poultry we're producing, which is organic and free range, they are out in ranges. And the way we have set up, it's not really a cattle shed. You open up the door, we have got purpose-built extensive poultry sheds. Would be quite exposed to bird flu if you put it in comparison to like a broiler shed where it is all sealed and wild birds can't come in and out, essentially. We really have to look at our business in January and reassess, are we going to do this again? Because this bird flu does not look like it's going away, much like COVID. As with the information we know, there might be a vaccine on the horizon. It might just fade away like some things, but the information we know currently, it's not going away anytime soon. If we were to get bird flu in November, so we've invested into our crop of turkeys, and then if one turkey gets bird flu, then the whole flock have to be culled. That would financially ruin us as a business. So knowing that, would it be quite naive to then start the year and think, right, we'll go ahead and just do turkeys like we've always done, because you're putting yourself at risk of going bankrupt later on in the year, essentially.
Yeah, very, very difficult times, I would imagine, with the costs involved.
Yeah. So obviously, amongst bird flu, since the spring, with Russia going to war, that's put feed prices off. Conventional prices went up 35% and organic feed went up 42%. Our electric bill for this December will be twice as much as last December. Labour's gone up. It's easier to list the things that haven't gone up than the others, but The joy of this enterprise is we're in complete control of pricing what we want. We can dictate what we would like to charge. We know all our costings. It's cost me 16.5% to produce the same turkey this year than it has last year. So our wholesale and retail prices have gone up accordingly to make the same margin. Obviously, the answer is, are people going to buy that? I think once people have had our sort of product, because it is for Christmas Day, no one eats bangers and mash on Christmas Day, there is more cost to it. But the eating experience for that one day on Christmas Day is worth it, I would say.
What are you going to be having on Christmas Day?
We will be having a turkey, of course.
As long as you haven't sold out, of course.
We've done that before. We've actually sold our own Christmas
Day. Yeah, might be having a very small turkey.
Thank you, John. Now we move straight on to the farming quiz, the time of the podcast you are all waiting for. And this week, we welcome Sally Mitchell. Now, Sally is a dairy auctioneer, suckler auctioneer. She is a land agent, tamed agent by many, a chartered surveyor. And there's quite a few things you do, isn't there, Sally?
Quite a few, yeah.
I think that's a succinct introduction there, Jay.
Oh, and I think before we start the quiz, we do have guest auctioneers come in and talk about different sections. So Derek Kim covered the dairy, Rob Venner covered the stores. Sally, turkey trade.
Turkey trade.
She bought one. Does that help?
I did.
Yeah. Right, on to the quiz then. The rules, Sally. 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
We need an answer. You can't
mm-hmm.
pass.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it. We make a big deal of the rules, but that's what they are.
That is, yeah, basically the rules. And to be honest, we chop and change them as we see fit. So,
Surprise me.
The key thing we've got to remember is this is the last podcast of the year. And Mr. Biss is at the top of the charts, which is truly awful. There's a lot of weight on your shoulders.
Always.
So Derek is on 10, so that is the figure to go over, please, today. Please, can someone beat him? Right, James, you put the time on and I'll ask the first question.
Ready, go.
How many dairy cattle were there today?
72.
You were one of three dairy auctioneers. Derek is one of them. Who's the other?
Andrew.
Name something you eat at Christmas.
Turkey.
What noise does a dog make?
Woof, woof.
Which farming organisation defended the dairy section of pollution claims this week?
Ooh.
Farming organisation.
Farming in crisis.
Farming union.
Oh, NFU.
Oh, thank you. Grounded is a new app for farmers with over 23,000 new members. But what does it do? Swipe right.
Oh, it's not a dating app, is it?
Yeah, correct.
Bonus point if you name someone who's definitely downloading this after listening to the podcast.
Probably Neil.
Yes. When is the next Saturday market?
It's New Year's Eve.
Yes, we're off next week.
Who was champion of the fat stock?
Lynn Pitsley.
Yep. Name three national parks.
We have got the Peak District.
Time's up, but you started, so I'll let you finish.
Snowdonia. Oh, Dartmoor.
Correct.
Right, James, can you tally up?
Right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And we had three national parks, and I personally think that's a three-pointer.
And we gave her a bonus question as well. About the dating app, so...
We did. So, actually, so the three national parks takes you to 11. And the dating app, I would say that Neil Sargent would have been... Yeah, would definitely have it.
If Emily shows a photo.
Other options I would have accepted would have been Ryan Doble.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that one.
Yeah, that would have been a strong...
That was who I was thinking of, but...
yeah.
So there we have it. We have finally got a new leader of the GTH Farming Quiz just as we're finishing our string of the first series of podcasts. So then to wrap up, as we always do, we'll just quickly look and see what we are doing this week.
Sorry, we'll look and see what we're going to do this week.
Well, we might be looking in our diary like Rob Venner did last week.
Did he do it for his diary?
No, nothing there.
No, move on.
So, Sally.
Well, I've got some farm tenancies to do up. Estate management things that need sorting out before Christmas. So it's really a quieter week because we haven't got any sales this week. So it's get your head down and sort out professional side.
I've got a similar sort of week, really. Yeah, catch up week, try and get everything done before Christmas. And yeah, then we'll be off.
And yeah, again, very sort of much of a catch up week. Got the orange market on Wednesday where we're selling our TB restricted calves. So I think that just about wraps us up. We'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas. As I said, this is the last podcast before the end of the year. We would like a bit of feedback. So if you're enjoying it or if you've got anything you'd like us to talk to or if you'd like us to continue, please do let us know. Otherwise, we'll wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.